Bible class, and we're going to be looking at our 11th lesson in what makes a person. And last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the two natures of man, or should I say the two natures of a saved man or woman. We know that looking again last week, that an unsaved person only has one nature. They know nothing of the new nature. They know nothing of the second nature. And excuse me. This morning, I'm going to look at, again, growing in Christ. And we've looked at many of the different aspects of a person and what makes up a person. But all of these things, especially when we're considering the Spirit and the new nature, we should be a growing entity. Each and every one of us should be growing in Christ. And when we think about obstacles and things that we've made ourselves that stop us from going higher, you might want to call it a ceiling, where we get to a certain point in our Christian life and we just don't go any higher. Ceilings are wonderful. They hold the heat in. They keep the rain out. You know, they do a lot of different things. But ultimately, a ceiling stops us from going higher than ultimately we could without it. They've done studies in primitive civilizations. And I know there's not a lot of really, really old people here. But how many people would say that kids matured faster when they were little, when they were younger? I would probably say they did. You know, most of the time, I know you look back 100 years ago, kids were getting married at 16 and 17 years old, running households and doing all kinds of things. And today, the only thing that somebody knows how to do by the time they're 25 is, you know, play with their cell phone or use the remote. But they've done studies in primitive cultures, primitive civilizations, and they find that they found that by the time a man, a young man, for instance, was about 16 to 20 years old, usually no higher than 20, they knew everything that they needed to know to survive. They could go off and they could live on their own. They knew how to hunt. They knew how to build a hut. They knew how to, you know, do everything that they needed to do in order to survive. But as they studied these primitive civilizations, they realized that that person, that individual, by the time they were 25, they didn't know any more than they did when they were 20. In other words, they learned all that they were going to learn in life by the time they were 20. They never advanced. They never moved forward. And then we've studied, if you will, industrialized civilization. And when we look at industrialized society, you know, we may not reach the ceiling, you know, of our knowledge and all that we can do by the time we're 25, but we continue to grow and develop. We look ahead to finishing high school, and for most young people, life doesn't begin until they're in done high school, right? All my kids, every one of them without fail, man, I can't wait to be done school and to get out into the workforce. Now they're all going, man, I wish I was back in school. It's a lot easier than working and a lot less responsibilities and a lot less this and a lot less that. You know, people, you know, get to 20 years old in our society and they don't think, you know, hey, this is it. I'm done. I mean, I'm going no further. For the most part, hey, I'm still looking forward to a job. I'm still looking forward to a career. I'm still looking forward to a spouse. I'm looking forward to 50. Amen. I'm looking forward to losing all my hair, and then I don't have to worry about it in the morning. I'm looking forward to retirement. We're constantly, in industrialized civilization, we're looking forward to new heights. In other words, we kind of remove that ceiling so that we can keep moving forward, keep moving on in our life. And when we think about that, have you ever been asked the question when you were younger, what are you going to do when you grow up? People still ask me that, you know. What are you going to do when you grow up? I think about that when we think about that question it implies that there's going to be a time in a person's life when they stop growing up, right? What are you going to do when you arrive? You know, when you hit that ceiling. And you know, for the most part, we don't have to just, you know, say, hey, you know what, I'm not going any higher. Usually by the time, I know girls are a little faster at developing, but usually girls maybe by the time they're about 16, and men usually by the time they're 20 have grown. If a guy is 20 years old, he's 6 feet, guess what he's going to be when he's 60? Well, he's going to be 5'11½", right? Because he's going to shrink a little bit. But, you know, you stop growing physically, height-wise, I should say. You don't ever seem to stop growing out. But we stop growing physically when we're 20 years old, and there's nothing we can do about that. We're going to hit that plateau. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, please. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And can I get somebody to read that when we found it? I want you to notice the word grow there, but grow. This isn't like the growing, what are you going to do when you've arrived, when you've grown up. This isn't the idea of, you know, reaching 6 feet and stopping. The Bible there says grow. That word grow is in the present tense, which means it's a continual process that the Christian goes through. All of us are continuing to grow. And, you know, in our Christian life, sometimes we can hit a ceiling. And we just say, listen, I am not going any further. I've grown up in my Christian life. And I know I've said this before, but one of the most dangerous places for any Christian to be is at the place where they've said, listen, I've grown, I've learned all that I'm going to learn. I've grown as much as I'm going to grow. I'm not going any further. I'm all grown up. You know, in our Christian life, We should not ever say that. We should never say that. And so again, this verb here, grow, it's the idea of continuing to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does God want us to reach a certain level and then stop? No, He wants us to keep going. God wants to blow apart or rip open the ceiling which limits us and restricts us and keeps us from going to higher ground and moving upward for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to break it wide open so that we can grow and increase and develop as a person. You know, no matter what, you know, when we think about development as people, you know, I look at society and I wonder, you know, how many people out there would survive if there was just a meltdown in society, if everything just fell apart, if all of a sudden there was no hydro anymore and there was no gas to put in our cars and the telecommunications system fell apart. I wonder how many people out there would actually survive. Where are they going to get food? If everything fell apart, infrastructure fell apart, our society, economy fell apart, and people had to learn to survive. You know, people haven't—I wouldn't say for the most part—learned how to survive. And you know, when we think about that, growing and learning to survive in life and in society, we're constantly learning. And I know I've said this before. I would like to be able to go back to being 20 years old and know what I know now. Back when you're 20, you know, I usually between about 18 and 25, those are the years when you know everything. You have all the answers. You're smarter than mom and dad. You're smarter than all your teachers. You just know. You have all the right answers. But then somehow you forget. And everything kind of, I guess, is in one ear and out the other. and you just you're realizing, hey, you know what? I still have more to learn, and we continue to learn and we continue to grow. And you know, when we think about what God wants for us, though, in spiritual life, the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit. He doesn't want us to reach a plateau. He doesn't want us to reach a certain point and then go no further. God wants us to reach Himself, ultimately, reach higher and higher and higher. You know, when we look at a cup, we take a cup out of the cupboard and we fill it with water, and it has a limit. There's only so much water we can put in it. But God wants to give us a cup that's limitless, that will never fill up, that will never overflow, that God wants us just to continue to grow and learn and increase. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 30 that the word increase, they're using the word about Jesus, He must increase. And Colossians chapter 3, in verse 10, the Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is, and again, that is constantly or continually being renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So there in Colossians 3:10, we put on that new man, that's that new nature. And we are to continually grow, continually learn and grow in knowledge after Him that saved us. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, Paul said there, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And again, there that idea, that verb is a constantly and continually being renewed in your mind about the things of God. True learning will demand an increase in learning. I'm going to say that again. True learning will demand an increase in learning. And so Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase. And will increase in knowledge. And so God wants us to be continually increasing, learning. And then it goes on to say, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. If a person does not keep on learning, then he has stopped learning. He stopped learning. You know, no matter what you do, well, there's an old saying, practice makes what? Perfect, or is, you know, more perfect. You know, Keith, I could imagine when you first walked up to a lathe or you started using a CNC machine or the first time you looked at blueprints and had some wood and had to cut it, the first time things didn't maybe go too well, right? You learn, oh, what is this machine? And then after a while, you get a little better. And then, you know, that your boards fit together a little better and your cuts are a little better and everything fits together nicely and it becomes kind of like a work of art, and you don't even, it seems like you don't even have to put the same effort in to get better results, because we're learning and we're increasing, and whether we know it or not, no matter what we do, if we're practicing what we do, we are learning and we're increasing, we're getting better at it all the time. You know, it's like the bicycle, learning to ride a two-wheeler. You know, when we first get on, man, we're all over the place and our knees and our legs are going this way and that way and our wheels wobbling and we're falling over and we're crashing. And after a while, you know, you get a little bit better and then you're still a little wobbly, but, you know, you're doing all right. And then you can gain a little bit of speed. And then by the time you're, you know, 25 years old, you know, you're wondering, how in the world did I ever struggle on a bicycle? How did I ever not be able to ride this thing? And, you know, we practice, we continually practice. And you know, no matter who you are, whether you're the greatest piano player in the world or the greatest athlete in the world, you know, even the greatest athletes in the world, guess what they show up to every week? Practice. Because they're trying to get better. They're never satisfied with where they are. And so they increase, they try to get better. And the Bible says here that a wise man will hear and will increase. And you see, this is, I think, sometimes where we start thinking, you know, church is kind of getting boring. Or, you know what, I just don't get the same thing out of it that I used to get out of it. Or we think, well, you know what, I've heard that message, or I've heard this 1,000 times. And you know, we start shutting off. I remember somebody years ago saying, a pastor's daughter, and she said, you know, I used to get nothing out of the messages until I was about, she said, 25 years old. Went through Bible college, did all kinds of things. And then she just determined one day, she says, you know what, I'm going to go to church this morning. Listen. She said, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to listen. I'm not going to let my mind wander. I'm not going to be thinking about this or thinking about that. I'm going to listen. And then she said, after a couple months, she said, I've gotten more now out of the messages than I've, you know, in the last couple months than I have in 25 years because I started listening. And if you will, I'm going to say that's not just listening, but making a conscious effort to grow. And saying, Lord, you know, take this message and apply it to my life. Where can I benefit from this? And that's why the Bible says here, a wise man will hear. Pay attention. And then we will grow. Again, a person who continues to learn and increase and develop is a person who is mentally and spiritually healthy. And I've mentioned this, I know, again before, but something that isn't growing isn't healthy. You know, when we think about a plant, you know, I guess plants are coming back. I used to love plants. You know, everybody had plants in their house when I was a kid. You know, and they weren't the kind of plants that a lot of people have in their house today. Got to say that now. And you know, plants are nice. I love plants. And everybody went to these plastic plants. You know, all of these ones you don't have to water, but you have to dust them. Now, here's a question. It has nothing to do with anything. But how come you got to dust plastic plants, but you don't have to dust real plants? Where does the dust go on real plants? I don't know. They have dust collection or something. I don't know how it works, but maybe you know. If you do, you can tell me later. But, you know, when we think about plants, you know, and people watering their plants and caring for their plants and fertilizing their plants, and could you imagine, you know, maybe you've planted a garden, you put tomato plants in, and you're fertilizing them, and you're putting all the stuff in there, and you went out every day, and they were this big one day, and then you went out the next day, and they're still that big, and you went out a week later, and they were still that big, and you would be a little bit concerned because your plants aren't growing. I always remember when we were kids, we went away usually for a week or two in the summertime. We went camping somewhere or went off, and it was so exciting when we came home to see how big all the plants grew in the garden. And sometimes the melons would be huge, and I remember coming home one time in particular when we were younger, and these pumpkins that we left, the pumpkins were just little tiny things. We came home, and the pumpkins were huge. They were massive things. Now, if I would have came home and we would have went to the garden and looked at what was going on, and the pumpkins were still the same size, I'd say, Mom, there's something wrong with our pumpkins. They're just not growing. There would be a problem, right? There would be something wrong. Now, I would like to believe that everyone here can say that, you know, they've grown. Amen? No, I don't mean, you know, out of the spiritually. Are you spiritually more mature than you were a year ago? Are you advancing in godliness, or are you advancing in worldliness? You've got to ask yourself these questions. Am I moving forward for God? Am I growing? Because listen, folks, if you're not growing, if you're not moving forward, if you're not learning in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then there's a problem. There's a health problem. And if you got a health problem, you need to go to the great physician. You know, there's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And, as we think about that, that implies that when a person gets older, he can no longer learn new things. Let me ask you this question. Is that true? No, it's not. It's harder to learn. There's no question about it. We have a learning curve. Learning when you're younger is really easy. And I always use the computer as a great example of that. There was a lady when we lived in Tilsonburg. There was a lady next door. She was about 72 years old. And she used to come over all the time and knock on my door and say, "Mike, my computer, I've got a computer problem again. Would you come over?" So I'd go over there, and her husband would be sitting there looking at me. And this, "We can't get this screen off the window, or this window off of the screen." So I took the mouse and I clicked, and it was gone. And she says, "What'd you do?" I said, "Click the X." And you know, you got a problem, right? You know, Marcel, you got a problem with your cell phone. Where do you go? Down to the nursing home to get it fixed? Who do you bring it to? Just give it to a kid. They'll fix it in 30 seconds flat. I know a few years ago, I think it was an 8-year-old kid hacked into the government computer in the United States. And you know, the scary thing about it is, though, and this is why I said all that, you know, I used to be the one that the old people came to fix their computers. Now I'm the guy going to the young people. "Would you fix this? I can't figure it out." Constantly, my son-in-law, Sam, "I got a problem with my phone. You know, it won't charge when it's turned on. And, you know, right now it just decided it doesn't want to. I got to turn it off. It won't charge. It's obviously a software problem." But anyways, you know, who do you go to? "Sorry, Marcel, I don't come to you for getting my cell phone fixed." Now, why is that? Because, again, when we get older, it is harder to learn new things. But that doesn't mean we can't learn. You know, we should be constantly learning. We should be always learning. We should be always increasing in the knowledge of God. the idea there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, increasing, growing in the knowledge of God. God wants a believer to be ever increasing and enlarging his mind and filling it with more and more and more of the knowledge of God. If a person really wants to grow, if you really want to grow, you will. You will. And it just depends on how much you want to grow. You know, I just started getting the bigger property and all of the things out there. It's a lot more maintenance than it was when we lived on Downer, and takes up a lot of my time. And I found I wasn't having time for running anymore, and I was getting, I got out of shape, probably the worst shape I was in a lot of years. And I just determined that I am going to get back into shape. I'm going to start running again. I'm going to start, you know, exercising, doing these things that I wasn't doing before. And so I got out there on the streets and started running. I was looking at my advancement. You know, I was looking at, I get onto the scale afterwards. And I'm going, man, I ran like 35 kilometers this week, and I'm the same weight as I was when I started. And I said, that's okay. I ran another 35 kilometers the next week, and I got back on the scale, and I says, okay, I've cut out chips, and I've cut out this, and I've cut out that, and I'm not eating this, and I'm doing that. Got back on the scale, and I was the same weight, and I'm getting frustrated. I'm going, man, what happened? When I was younger, I'd just run to the corner and back, and I'd lose 5 pounds. And I could eat chips, and I could eat hamburgers, and I could eat this, and I could eat lots of carbs, and it didn't bother me. I could still lose the weight quickly. And I was starting to get frustrated looking at that scale. Someone was tampering with it, I was sure. But, you know, I was determined that I was going to lose some weight. I was determined. My times as well, you know, weren't where I wanted them to be as far as running. I was looking at my times. I know what my times were, you know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And I'm going, like, this isn't right. I mean, there's got to be something wrong here. And my times, it seemed as well, weren't getting better. So I continued. My times aren't where they, I would still like them to be. But finally, it seemed like, okay, I'm getting better times. And finally, the scale was a little nicer to me. And it seemed like I was finally making some progress. Now, a lot of people would have said, maybe I'm going to give up. Like, how many miles do I need to run this week? How many miles do I need to run next week? How many times do I have to starve myself before I finally lose weight? And here, in my mind, I'm thinking this is even scarier because when I'm another 10 years old, it's going to be even harder. You know, even harder than it is now. And looking at the difference even 5 or 6 years. But I was determined that I was going to make progress. You know, making progress in our spiritual life isn't quite as hard. We can do it. Amen? We can do it if we desire to do it, if we want to do it. We will progress. But the problem is, we have to want to. You see, even though we grow old and it gets harder sometimes to learn or harder to get in shape or whatever it may be, spiritually we have an advantage because we have the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us and that illuminates us and that shows us the knowledge of God, that gives us an increase in the knowledge of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in old people just like He does young people. And that wisdom God can give us, and it can stay with us. You know, a person's relationship with the Lord, and when we think about that, things should be ever becoming new and fresh and more wonderful in meaning. And that is the idea there of the increasing in knowledge. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Kyle, could I get you to look up Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. So when you're looking at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, I'm going to ask you this question. Will we ever fully understand the love of God according to that verse? No. In other words, when it comes to learning about the love of God, we are never going to hit a ceiling. And can I get you to read Romans chapter 11 and verse 33? So, according to that verse, are we ever going to come to complete knowledge of God? So we're never going to hit a ceiling. We can always continue to learn. We'll always, always, always have something we can learn. Even simple things like, I'm saved, amen? And you know, when I think about that simple doctrine, you know, when I was saved 24 years ago, you know, it was wonderful. I praise God for salvation. I praise God for the day I was saved. But you know what? Today, it means a lot more to me than it did then. And I understand it more now than I did then. You know, when it comes to eternal security, I believed in eternal security right away. I believed that I was in the hands of God. God wasn't going to let me go. I believed all of those things. But now, today, 24 years later, eternal security means more to me than it did then. And I understand eternal life a little better than I used to. You know, I don't know if any of us are really going to fathom. We're going to look a little bit about that tonight. If we're ever going to completely understand the, you know, eternity, It's an incredible thought just to think that God is eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. And we're always and ever increasing in knowledge. How about the fact that our sins are forgiven? These are simple, fundamental truths of salvation, that our sins are forgiven. But I hope you understand more about what that means now than you did when you were saved. You know, you should know more about that. You should be able to, in your minds, explain it to somebody if you need to, or whatever that may be. One of the most dangerous places that any Christian can be is when we have stopped growing. We think, well, you know what? I know all that I need to know. I'm saved. That's all that matters. We've come to a very, very bad place in our life. I talked a little bit last week about smorgasbord Christianity as well, where we decide, to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like in the Bible. You know, it's like going to a buffet table. You know, we can get whatever we like, and we can leave whatever we don't like. And when we think about that, there might be certain areas in our life where we just don't want God to touch. You know, we go to the doctor and we say, well, doctor, I want an exam, but I don't want you to examine my feet. Because I know I've got a problem there and I don't want to deal with it. And so we don't allow the doctor to look at our feet. And so we never get help. We just say, you know what, I'm perfectly fine the way I am. And we can say, God, you know what? You can have all of this. You can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this. But listen, don't touch this area of my life. You know, don't touch my music, or don't touch this, or don't touch that. I just want it my way, and whatever it may be. And you know what we've done? What we're doing that? We've erected a ceiling, and we said, God, I'm only going that high. I'm not going any higher. Don't try to push me through. Don't allow me to grow or to become more for God. Unfortunately, the attitude of too many people, including Christians, is this: I've always been this way, and I can't change, and I don't even want to be different. I'm content with the way I am. I don't want anything else. For example, they might say something like this: I've always been grumpy. Why should I change? Or maybe I've always been worried about this and that. I can't help but worry. I'm shy. You know what? I'm very shy, and I'll always be shy. I've always had trouble controlling my temper. I've always had trouble. So why should I bother? You know, I'm going to be like this until I die. Fill in the blank. What else can we say? What else can we say? You know what? I've always... What? We can say what? You know, I've always done it this way. Sunday morning's always been my golf day. Whatever it may be. Again, you could fill in the blank with anything. There might be some things coming to your mind right now, where you know you might be saying, "Hey, listen, I, this is just how I am, and this is the way I'll always be, and it's not going to change." And you know what? Don't ever say that. You know, these are ceilings which people put up, but we can break through them, no matter what they are, no matter what place we are, we can break through them. And God has given us the ability to do those things. Could I get, Keith, could I get you to look up 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18? And Connor, could I get you to look up Romans 12 and verse 2? Most of us know that verse. But I want us to have a look at these verses and understand, again, the new nature and the transforming, again, not of our old nature. We don't transform the old nature, but we transform our mind. Remember that, right? Our mind was programmed by our old nature for many years. I remember I was 31 years old when I got saved. And I don't know how many times in the first few years I remember thinking to myself, I have been programmed wrong. My thinking about women, and my thinking about family, and my thinking about this, and my thinking about that, it's just wrong. It's not God's way. And I remember times when I sat in the pew after a Sunday school class, and I was weeping. I was literally weeping, going, man, I've been brainwashed by the world. And you know, the world used to know all of these things. It used to have, you know, a biblical based, if you will, attitude towards many of the things. I grew up in the 70s. I'm sorry I have to confess that to you. You know, we were taught some really crazy things, you know, the feminist movement and you know, boys and girls were the same, and all kinds of crazy things, and I had to get all of that 70s, I wish I could get some of the pictures in my mind of the 70s out of, you know, the bell bottoms and the platform shoes and all of that. You know, I won't go any further than that. But could we read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18? And then Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So in light of these verses, instead of saying, Lord, this is how I am, and I'm going to die this way, we need to say this, Lord, I don't want any more ceilings. I want to grow up in Christ. I want to change and to correct things in my life and to grow and develop and be the way that you want me to be. And I'm going to break through this ceiling. I'm going to get victory. God has given me the grace and God has given me the power to be able to do these things. And we find in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 and 12 and verse 24, Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, we see the church and the people and the Christians, they're all growing and increasing in knowledge. You know, Christianity, we got really kind of caught up in this prayerism there, and, you know, and forgot all about discipleship, you know, just get them to pray prayers and never mind about growing and never mind about discipleship and never mind, you know, getting them into church and just, you know, get them saved, and that's all that really matters. But we find in the early church, we find throughout the book of Acts that they were growing, not only numerically, but they were growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And even the Great Commission is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, We, as I mentioned last week, when we get that new nature, we should have a hunger for the Word of God. We should have a hunger for the things of God. And I know when I was saved, nobody had to twist my arm and force me to come to church. Nobody had to twist my arm and force me, to read the Bible. That new nature was prodding me to read. And I remember sitting up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes reading and studying, just going through a book. One of the best books that I found by the name of a fellow by the name of Evans wrote it. It's called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. And I remember as a new Christian, that book was such a good book. It was an amazing book. I learned so much about God. I learned so much about the Bible. Learned so much about man, angels, and I was thirsty and I was drinking in all of these new things, and I busted through the ceiling and I kept going. And I wanted to learn more, and I didn't care what people thought. I didn't care what the world was doing. I wanted to learn and I wanted to do things God's way. And that's what the Bible teaches us we can do. God's success, formula for success, is His people abiding in the book. God wants His people to live in the Word of God. The only way, again, the psalmist said this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The only way we're going to get the Bible in us is if we are in the book. If we're in the Bible. And that's the only way we're going to continue to increase. It's the only way we're going to learn. And you know, I think about, you know, again, the first years of my Christianity and all that I learned and I learned quickly. I had my doctrine down in a few months. You know, most of the fundamental doctrines, you know, of eschatology and doctrines of God and my belief in the church and all of these different things. I was in the book constantly and learning. And I remember getting to the place where I thought, you know what? You know, I don't know how much more I'm going to learn. I don't know how much more I'm going to continue to grow. But I will tell you this, that you know, 24 years later, I'm still learning. 24 years later, you know, I come to realize I don't know everything. And I, you know, even the greatest Bible scholars in the world are still learning. Everyone needs to continue to learn. And in order for us, or should I say this, in order for the Bible to live or abide in us, we need to be in the book. We need to be in the Word of God. It needs to live in us. It needs to grow in us. We need to feed on God's Word, and God's Word needs to feed on us, and we just need to get back to good old-fashioned Bible study, good old-fashioned Bible reading and getting in God's Word, and God is going to give us higher ground. And I love that song, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Brethren, Paul, talking about the great Bible scholars still needing to learn, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ." And you know, Paul said, it's not that I have attained. I haven't learned everything. Here's the great missionary, the writer of, I believe, 14 New Testament books. And he said, "You know what? I'm still not arrived. I've spent time with the Lord. I mean, I'm an apostle. I still have things to learn." Let me ask you this question. Are you growing? Are you growing in the Lord? And if not, what are you willing to do this morning to move on to higher ground, to bust through the ceiling and say, "God, I want to grow. I want to increase. I want to become more like You." That should be the prayer and desire of each one of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. And Lord, you've promised us that we can grow. I believe that we all have room to grow. May the Holy Spirit of God help us to be all that we can be. Lord, each one of us should desire in every area of our Christian life to become more like the Master. So help us and guide us and direct us, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.